At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on a Friday, it is Football Full Circle, otherwise known as FFC, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin and various other disciplines as well. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It is the football off season. It's a little bit quiet on this Friday, but we do have some headlines for you, both in the National Football League and around college football as well. Lisi, guys, still a ton to break down up until 1 p.m. Eastern time to send anybody, everybody into their weekend a little bit football wiser, if you will.
Yeah, definitely wiser. Maybe if you're like me, you're a little aggravated, right? So it's possible, you know, to happen right before the weekend. I'm aggravated just because maybe I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, right? But on top of that, Ben, in college football, I read the news that Tennessee and Nebraska are not going to, you know, fulfill that little rivalry that we saw play out. I mean, here we go again, right before the weekend. Let's take a small piece of Americana and let's just throw it in the trash can as we slowly just pull apart college football from the seams. Just terrible, terrible circumstance.
So we were going to start in the NFL, but hey, let's go right into college football. Announced in the last half an hour or so that a 2026 and 2027 home and home between Tennessee and Nebraska, two of the great pantheons of the sport, Neyland Stadium on Rocky Top Memorial Stadium, the old gray lady in Lincoln, Nebraska. That home and home has now been canceled, namely citing Nebraska's desire to have more home games in 2027 when they undergo some upgrades that have been scheduled for a long time to their home stadium, that being Memorial Stadium. And because they will have reduced seating capacity, Joe, Nebraska saying, and their athletic director, Troy Dannon, saying that they would rather have more home games to recoup some of that revenue. So the home and home has now been canceled, not necessarily on the Volunteers' fault. I'm sure that the Nebraska coaching staff, Matt Rhule, and the players would welcome the opportunity to play on a Rocky Top against the Volunteers. But, Joe, as it so often goes, revenue and the almighty bottom line win the day once again in college football.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a series and a mini rivalry, per se, right? Big Ten and SEC. That we would watch. I mean, you know, I guarantee you, I think it's the first time both of those schools would square off in a regular season type of setting. I could be wrong, but that's what makes college football so special, these rivalries or these games that, you know, on an NFL perspective, you see almost every team play each other within a decade. In college football, you get games or potential matchups that you might see for the first time ever. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the almighty buck and dollar drives the bus. But, you know, this is where we're at in terms of college athletics. It's not going to change. Hopefully both of these schools could schedule another opponent that mimics what we would have saw in 26 and 27. Because, you know, these games still matter as it relates not just to the top 25 rankings, but the college football playoff rankings and college football playoff seedings at the end of the year.
Joe, you are correct, by the way. This would have been the first regular season matchup between Tennessee and Nebraska, two very well-known and blue blood-esque football programs that had some great success in the 90s, really against one another. They played in the Orange Bowl to end out the 1997 season. They played in the Fiesta Bowl to end out the 1999 season. They played in the Music City Bowl my first year in Omaha, Nebraska, back in 2016, when Joshua Dobbs was the quarterback for the Volunteers and Tommy Armstrong the quarterback for the Cornhuskers. It is a shame, Joe, because both of these programs have so much pedigree, and yet we were excited to see a potential home and home, not this upcoming season, but the next year and the year following. Now, there is the game ramification because of this, and some might say, well, it makes some sense. Nebraska in place of Tennessee scheduling a couple of MAC opponents and an additional FCS opponent for that eighth home game they desired in 2027 to recoup some of that revenue from lost seating capacity, whatever. Northern Iowa will be that eighth home opponent for the Huskers 3 years from now, or 2 years from now in 2027. But Joe, it's not really about that, right? It's not about the competition. It's about the fact this game would have taken place, a meaningful and monumental matchup in the non-conference slate, especially with where college football is going. But even in the current 12-team college football playoff, some looked at schedules last year and said to themselves, see, why would you ever schedule a difficult non-conference opponent if you can just play the easiest of the easy and run the gauntlet? That's not actually how these things work. You don't get to determine your conference schedule. You can pick your non-conference foes, and losing in the non-con does not cost you as long as you take care of business within your conference slate. And this could have been an opportunity, Joe, for both Nebraska and Tennessee. Who knows what we'll see in 2026 and 27, but potential college football playoff contenders to get a marquee early season victory, which doesn't hurt your resume, but only bolsters it. So a missed opportunity, Joe, for the fans, and maybe for the highest level of competition in this sport.
Yeah, and we talk about, you brought it up, it's, you know, college football, I think not will mimic college basketball, but we talk about the quad one wins and the quad two and, you know, right, top 25 FPI and, you know, all of that. That always matters when you break down even teams, right? So if it's splitting hairs between, we'll just throw out an SMU, a Tennessee, or Nebraska, and both of those teams had a top 10 victory like we would have saw maybe potentially in 26 and 27. That could help bolster a program to get over the hump. And again, you know, they're going to reschedule. Who's in place of both of these teams, we'll see what transpires, but it still hurts the sport. It still hurts from just even, you know, whether it be a home and home, it still hurts in the sense of Tennessee would have drawn a huge crowd for that game, right? 110,000 plus. Same thing with the Lincoln crowd, right? Those local businesses would have definitely flourished having Tennessee come to Lincoln, and as opposed to now maybe Arkansas State that might fill the void. I'm just saying it's a different animal when you break down the opponents, and it's unfortunate that we won't see this in the regular season in the short term.
Yeah. And it's really the case, Joe. And who knows, right? 2026 could be a year of change in college football. Again, with all of the reports and the projected expansion of the CFP run by the Big Ten and the SEC. If it does expand to 14 or 16 schools, Joe, Tennessee, like many of their other SEC foes, would have to up their conference slate from only 8 games to 9. Would that allow then a SEC Big Ten scheduling alliance, as has been projected, in a renewal of Tennessee-Nebraska? We'll see, but as of this moment, this is what the decision is. Just so you know, Joe, Nebraska filling its 2026 schedule with a home game against Bowling Green, its 2027 schedule with Miami of Ohio and Northern Iowa. So not exactly the robust competition that an SEC power conference team is, like the Volunteers. But Joe, this, I think, is the overwhelming point that we have made a few times in the last few days discussing some potential changes in the ever-evolving landscape that is collegiate athletics. We just watched the Four Nations face-off championship game last night between Canada and the United States. The Four Nations face-off in its inaugural year. Hard to argue it was anything but a resounding success because it focused on the purity of the sport. Not the bottom line, although the revenue and the viewership numbers will come, but focused on the purity of the sport. to have pride in what you are doing and put the fans first. And a lot of these conversations that we have around college football, the last component to every conversation is thinking about the fans. And the fans, in large part, miss out on what would have been a wonderful opportunity between Nebraska and Tennessee to square off in a meaningful non-conference football game. What are you going to do? It's the reality of the situation. More on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So we're talking about Nebraska and Tennessee canceling a scheduled home-and-home between the two sides for 2026 and 2027. Joe, there is still a chance that this alleged alliance between the Big Ten and the SEC, if we do see expansion for the college football playoff beginning in 2026, there might be a renewal between Nebraska and Tennessee, or Tennessee against another Big Ten school, Nebraska against another SEC team. We shall see. For the moment, it's a bummer. Because, Joe, I think as we have tried to stress and highlight in any of our conversations about the seismic changes we see basically every year now in the offseason to college football and at large college athletics as a whole, the fans are never really front and center. It's always TV revenue and sweetening that bottom line. But the fans in college sports, in the pageantry and the history and the tradition that comes unique with college sports as a product, specifically college football, in my estimation, should never be overlooked, but it often is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, we talk about the changing landscape of college football. We talk about, you know, money. We talk about revenue. And where's the bottom line? Where's the bottom? The student athletes, which I still can, you know, find, you know, ridiculous that they claim it's always in the benefit. But, you know, we see the changing landscape now with conferences and the conference title games moving locations. We've now seen this now with the Big Ten moving location for media days from Indy to Las Vegas. It's just for bigger is better, Ben. It's just to get more eyes and more money and more sponsorship opportunity. To everything is an event now, right? You know, it used to be the selection show used to come out the day after the conference championships. They used to roll it out. Now we have a production, right? It's almost like an Academy Award show. You know, it's amazing how much money and corporate sponsorship drives the bus now, and it's not going to stop, you know, especially with the, and we could tie it into gambling. You know, the more eyes that you have on the product, the more potential for people to bet preseason, offseason, during the season. There's just more interest as a whole, and bigger is always better now. This is it. It's not going to change until either the industry or the college game gets crushed, which will never happen. Hopefully, and that's it. You know, we'll just continue to grow exponentially year after year.
As Joe is alluding to, Big Ten media days for this upcoming football season in the summer in late July, now scheduled for Las Vegas, because nothing says Big Ten football like Sin City. But they're moving it out there, like the Big 12 moved out there, like the Mountain West is out there, basically like every darn sport is out there now to take advantage of all that Vegas has to offer. It's silly. It's dumb. It makes no sense, but it is for revenue. And that, I guess, Joe, is always going to be the case, right? In every line of life, in every walk of life, you are trying to make the most money that you are. And certain things need to be sacrificed. But it just is getting to the point where it's so outrageous day in, day out that it does feel crappy. That being said, once we actually get to games, it reminds us why we love this sport, and a lot of that offseason noise waits for a while. But it's just the long offseason in college athletics, namely in college football, where you get these stories continuously, especially with all the updates we have seen. We're just like, all right, like, what are we doing, huh?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, we talk about bigger is better, and I guess the thing that hurts is like the local people, right, that follow their respective programs, the local reporters, the local, you know, businesses that maybe thrive from having it in Indianapolis as opposed to Las Vegas, where it's, you know, just more blanketed and bigger and, you know, Fortune 500 companies. It's not the same appeal. It doesn't right. have any type of affiliation to the actual product, right? You just mentioned it. You know, the Pac-12 used to have it, the Mountain West now, the Big 12. What's the correlation between Vegas and all of those schools from a regional or geographic location? None. Maybe 10%, 15% based off a locality. Outside of that, it's just because it's the biggest venue with the most opportunity in terms of, you know, offsite type of businesses or attraction. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah, that is literally all it is. So that's the story with college football, as it has been the past few days. We await a big meeting on Tuesday afternoon. That's when it is scheduled, with the conference commissioners for all 10 FBS leagues and Notre Dame's athletic director as well, because we might have some seismic changes, Joe, coming this upcoming week that really would make a lot of what we're discussing here feel insignificant if we do see an expanded college football playoff beginning in 2026 to 14 schools or 16 schools, and what that would mean with the Big Two, the Big Ten, and the SEC really calling the shots for the rest of the country to deal with. We could also see changes, if no expansion is floated or voted on yet, Joe, just to the change in seed order and seed ranking within the college football playoff in the 12-team era, beginning as quickly as 2025, in which we would get rid of guaranteed opening round buys for the four highest ranked conference champs of the five that make the field, and just do it based on 1 through 4, which would also change the committee's process for how they go about unveiling those final 12 teams that get into the college football playoff bracket.
Yeah. Again, you know, when you talk about seeding, you talk about the ability to have a bigger pool or the ability to have conferences with bigger, you know, share or market share. That's where we are at, right? The conferences that have the most money and have the biggest push, Big Ten and SEC, right, have the most opportunity to potentially win a national championship. You know, and again, it is funny. And when you just look at it, where we're at is that expansion was supposed to help the smaller schools, the SMUs and the Tulanes.
Yeah.
And they might have less of a share now than when they did in a 14 playoff.
Yeah, which is really crazy to say. Some NFL news and notes. Some headlines coming your way up next, live right here on Football Full Circle. The retirement of one of the greats to ever do it on the O-line, Zach Martin. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. As we shared right before the break, Zach Martin, one of the great offensive linemen in the last decade plus around the NFL, has called it a career. After 11 seasons, all of which as a Dallas Cowboy, after being a first-round pick in 2014 out of Notre Dame, Zach Martin is hanging up the cleats. Joe, a stat that was circulating around social media yesterday about Zach Martin, which is truly, truly fascinating. He had more Pro Bowl nods in his 11-year career, 9, than he had accepted holding penalties called against him, only 7. More Pro Bowl nods, 9, than accepted holding calls, 7. That's how good Zach Martin was during his 11 seasons in the NFL. A 7-time AP first team All-Pro for the Dallas Cowboys at that right guard spot, various guard spots. One of the best interior O-linemen, Joe, to do it in the NFL in recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible, especially when you think about how ticky-tacky some of these refs are with holding throughout the years. To only have 7 of those in his career is amazing. And one of the main reasons why Dallas at one point had one of the best O-lines in the NFL, right? He spearheaded that offensive line, and they were able to run the football very consistently during his tenure. It's unfortunate that they weren't able to win, you know, just a Super Bowl championship or even make it to a Super Bowl during his tenure. But at the end of the day, I mean, one of the best offensive linemen in not just Cowboys history, but just in all of the NFL, the way he was able to do it, just a future Hall of Famer, just a blue collar type of player, and stepped up even when injured. So, I mean, just, you know, they're going to lose one of the greats. It didn't affect the team this past season in any way, but moving forward, definitely, you know, to get back to that level of dominance, you're going to have to draft better and, you know, make personnel changes. But we'll see how it plays out for the Cowboys this year.
We'll talk about the Cowboys in just a moment, but Joe, Zach Martin should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If not first ballot, find his way to Canton, Ohio very, very shortly when he is Hall of Fame eligible about 5 years from now. Truly a staple of consistency and success for this Cowboys team. A couple of other things that highlight just how good Zach Martin was at his job, how elite he was as an interior offensive lineman. So he finished Offensive Rookie of the Year runner-up in his rookie campaign in 2014. An O-lineman, a right guard, finished runner-up to Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2014, only behind Odell Beckham Jr. And Joe, 2013, Notre Dame plays in the Pinstripe Bowl. Who won Pinstripe Bowl MVP? Zach Martin, the first O-lineman to win a bowl game MVP honor since 1959, we've been trying to track it down. Not sure it has been done since. Pinstripe Bowl MVP winner Zach Martin, again, speaks to how good this guy was at what he did.
Yeah, he was amazing. Now, I mean, who was the media? I mean, I have to go back and look at that Pinstripe Bowl now because, yeah. You know, who was keying in with the binoculars on Zach Martin each and every play? That they gave him that. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, but I'm just saying very rare when you see an offensive lineman win, you know, a bowl game type of MVP, you know, outside, especially playing for Notre Dame. And you think about the skill type of talent that they had offensively and defensively. That being said, I mean, he spearheaded their offensive line back in the day and just the dominant offensive lineman from the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the guard position, too, when you think about it, goes unnoticed at times. Not for him, though, just a dominant player. And at the end of the day, I don't know if we'll ever see a more consistent player right from the get-go coming out of college than Zach Martin.
No, probably not, Joe. Just with how good he was, 16th overall pick in 2014, played all 11 seasons of his NFL career in Dallas. Joe, as we look at the Cowboys, again, we are a couple of weeks away probably from getting those conference odds, the division odds, certainly about a month plus away from getting win totals for 2025's NFL season. We got to get to the start of the league year in just a few weeks. But we do have the Super Bowl 60 odds out, right? Hard to bet on the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl, seeing as they can't even get to a conference championship. But Joe, with Brian Schottenheimer now as the head coach, and a couple of changing vibes around this organization, we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, but just so we have it, 55-1 for the Cowboys to win Super Bowl 60. Despite the playoff lack of success that Dallas has seen the last three decades in the NFL, the price has rarely, if ever, been that long in the offseason. Does it make sense? We'll talk about it up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Right before we got to the commercial break, we were discussing Zach Martin calling his career after 11 seasons. Joe, 11 years in Dallas, where he was a seven-time AP First Team All-Pro. He was incredible throughout his NFL run. The Dallas Cowboys have a lot of things to figure out this offseason, not just replacing a staple of consistency along the interior of that offensive line, But when are they going to pay Micah Parsons? How much will they? How do they figure out the rest of the roster, needing to address the running back room as well? And how successful will first-year head coach Brian Schottenheimer be in 2025? So these are many similar off-season questions that the Cowboys have had to answer for the better part of the last 2.5 decades. Of course, the Cowboys have not even reached the NFC Championship game since winning their last Lombardi Trophy in 1995. That has been the age-old question. Can Dallas get back to the pinnacle that everybody expects? And how we judge the Cowboys by that level of success? Joe's 55-1. Is the price for the Cowboys to win Super Bowl 60. Despite the lack of success in playoffs past, that price always in the offseason, it seems, for Dallas is overly optimistic and probably shorter than it really should be, again, as the Cowboys have not even reached the NFC Championship game in this millennium. At 55-1, though, Joe, the odds makers really aren't feeling that optimism entering 2025.
No, neither am I. I didn't know Dak Prescott and CD Lamb, and they have the great Micah Parsons that, in my opinion, never steps up in a big game. But that's besides the point. He's got a podcast. I can't bet the Cowboys. I just can't. I can't do it. Brian, if you're telling me Brian Schottenheimer at 55-1 in year one is going to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl, I'd rather be dead wrong and prove me wrong in that regard. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. Could they be a 9-win football team, a 10-win football team? It's possible because of Dak and because of, you know, the talent that potentially is there, but expecting the defense to bounce back in a big way outside of Parsons, who do they really have? I mean, they were atrocious last year. They were terrible in run support, and expecting them to beat the Eagles potentially twice, Washington potentially twice. I just don't see it. You know, maybe they can beat up on the New York Giants, but still, outside of the division, where are the wins coming from that's going to get them over the hump? I just don't see it. And at 55-1, it's a deserving number because I think they're just going to be a basic 6 or 7 win football team this year.
So I can't wait to see what the Cowboys win total is after only a 6-win season this past, let me make sure it was 6 and not 7, but let me just clarify on that. But Joe, when you look at Mike McCarthy's 5 years, right? The bookends of his year, 10 losses. So 7-10 this year, his first season, 2020, 6-10 record. In the interim, 12-5 each and every year, 2 divisional championships in that 3-year span. Of course, a playoff team in the 3 years from 2021 through 23, in which they won 12 games in the regular season. Regular season success has never been an issue at the Star. In fact, in the 3 decades basically now, Dallas has failed to reach an NFC Championship game. They have been to the postseason 13 times. Joe, here as of late, when you look around what the Cowboys have done in the last decade of their NFL tenure now, they have won double-digit games in, or at least 9 games, I should say, in 6 of those 10 years. Dallas has not had an issue being a winning football team. The Cowboys have had an issue taking the opportunity, the scenario of reaching the postseason and maximizing that for a championship, whether in a conference or a Super Bowl. I don't feel optimistic about the Cowboys, but I cannot wait to see what the win total is. A 55-1 price to win a Super Bowl, Joe, you just kind of naturally think some of the teams around where Dallas is at this moment, the Bears 49-1, the Seahawks 45-1, the Falcons, Cardinals, Broncos, all 55-1, probably an 8.5 win total for the Cowboys, something in that ballpark, which often they have been able to clear, as we just highlighted.
Right, but you still have a quarterback that has major concerns coming off an injury where he missed the second half of the year. You have a defense that you don't know what you're going to get out of. And again, that was terrible and got abused by mediocre offenses last year. I mean, you know, that's the problem. If you're back in the 55-1, you say you have a quarterback that's at least taking you like a Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts. Are we putting Dak better than Jalen Hurts? Absolutely not. Are we putting Dak better than Jane Daniels? I don't know, because right now I'd say they're even heading into the year, right? So, okay, he's better than whoever the New York Giants have. in the division. So we'll give them two divisional wins, and everything else, let's just say, they're 2-4 in the division. They're going to get potentially, what, 8 more wins to get into the playoffs? To be a 10-win football team with that team? Right. Because of CeeDee Lamb and Rico Dowdle? I just don't see it, Ben. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I hear the point, Lazy Guy. I really do. Dak Prescott, in his now 9-year NFL career, has played at least 12 games in 7 of those 9 years. Not this past year, only played 8. Not in 2020, only played 5. Every year, Joe, that he has played at least double-digit games, 12-plus, the Cowboys as a team have won at least 9 games and have made the postseason many of those years as well. So there is something to be said if Dak is fully healthy and Brian Schottenheimer and the relationship is good year over year. The Cowboys at least will factor into a playoff race. There is also that weird and quirky trend within the NFC East that now dates back to 2004, so 2 decades. We have not seen a repeat champion in the NFC East since 2004, which is crazy and not necessarily great news for the reigning Super Bowl champs, who can still get to the playoffs and continue their title defense even in a wild card spot, but not great news for Philadelphia, Joe, who, of course, is going to be booked as the odds-on favorite to win the NFC East this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you, if you're back in the 55-1, you're going, okay, you know, they haven't had a back-to-back winner in basically 21 years. We have a shot. It's as good as anybody. And we have a quarterback that's not a rookie or, you know, just a has-been. Dak has put up, you know, good numbers in the regular season. So, yeah, that's the hope. But the long-term view is they got to get to a Super Bowl. And when they had better pieces in place with better head coaches, they couldn't get over the hump. And now you have a first-year coach that has a bunch of critics and a bunch of answers to step up to, and a team that really, up until this point, has no identity offensively or defensively. I'd rather no play it, Ben.
Yeah, I'll wait, Joe. Again, I wouldn't bet your money. I wouldn't bet my worst enemy's money on the Cowboys to win an NFC championship or a Super Bowl. Please do not internalize that as me saying you are my worst enemy. You are not. You are one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I wouldn't bet anybody's money on the Dallas Cowboys getting to a Super Bowl.
No, what? I would just say, to your point, I would make a bet to make playoffs based off that information on the Cowboys, but not Super Bowl, because it's there for a reason.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And until that changes, you don't necessarily want to be the person betting that it is going to change. Joe, some news around the NFL that just came down in the last 5 minutes. Sheldon Rankins, who has been in the NFL since 2016 as well, much like Dak Prescott, first round pick in 2016, who has now played for 4 different teams this past year in Cincinnati, where he started 7 games. He has been cut by the Bengals, clearing up nearly $10 million of cap space. Of course, important for the Bengals, if we take them at their word, that they are going to try to pay everybody on their payroll that matters. The core, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Trey Hendrickson. A little bit more about Sheldon Rankins and some other news around the NFL coming your way on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. It's the offseason. The conversations keep coming next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Joe, some news on this Friday that just came down the wire. Not necessarily overly dramatic news unless you can read in between the tea leaves. Sheldon Rankins, after his only year in Cincinnati, the 9th of his NFL career, started and played in 7 games for a bad Bengals defense this season, has been released by Cincinnati, clearing up $9.6 million of cap space. That probably the most important thing. Rankins has been in the NFL now for nearly a decade. First round pick back in 2016 out of Louisville, made by the New Orleans Saints. Was good with the Saints, really productive for the Jets. 2023 with Houston, didn't do all that much. this past year in Cincinnati. Again, not overly productive for a bad Bengals defense. This is nothing against Sheldon Rankins, Joe. It's more so against him being released and clearing nearly 10 mil in cap space. You would think it's one of the first small dominoes to fall, if you will, for the Bengals to make the moves they have said and promised they are going to make to retain all of the young core. T. Higgins bringing him back. And even if they tag him, agreeing to a long-term contract extension, giving that long-term extension to Ja'Marr Chase after his rookie deal expires at the end of this year, and keeping Trey Hendrickson in-house, who finished runner-up in Defensive Player of the Year voting in 2024. You would think, Joe, that's what a move like this would help Cincy do.
Yeah, I mean, actions speak louder than words, right? So the fact that they're actually putting this into motion and not just saying it hopefully gives hope to T. Higgins. I would hope that he's the first guy that they make the extension to and re-sign to make sure that offense is in order with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, you should sign the – I believe they have their same agent, Ben. Sign both of those guys at the same time then. One agent, two deals, let's get it done, and then move on. Once you get both of those guys, you can worry about Hendrickson. I mean, Hendrickson's important, but it's not like we're talking about the 85 Bears defense. I know he's the best player on that defense, but they were a sieve last year. So worry about the offense first. This is the first move, and hopefully they do the right thing.
Lisi is correct. Rocky Arsenault, I believe I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, now represents T. Higgins. He signed and did T with Rocky Arsenault in December, or at least that's when it came out that he did. So T. Higgins by Rocky Arsenault, Ja'Marr Chase with Rocky Arsenault. Could be a lot of commission coming Rocky Arsenault's way if he can get those big deals for the Bengals star wide receiver. I think more like am I live? Like Arsenaux, like Joe Burrow. Yeah,
got it. All right.
Yeah,
well,
not like,
you never know.
I might not have like Archie Diacono. Yeah.
Right. He might have a little Italian in him. You never know, right? I'm sure he likes
Cajun
a good
Italian
too. Yeah.
I'm sure
the Rocky. Rocky threw me off. The Rocky.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Yeah.
So
how were the meatballs in New Orleans, by the way?
Well, Joe's Bistro had some all right.
Yeah, this might be on live right now in Joe's Bistro. So be careful.
Yeah. No, Joe's Bistro, we ate there every day. I ate the meatballs every day. They're fantastic. Let me tell you, for New Orleans, outside of like a Rayo's, I was very impressed with the complexity. You know, some people call it gravy, other people call it sauce, you know, whatever. I didn't dip the bread like some people, but that, you know, others that looked like they were going to the chair. Like, you know, they didn't eat in like 6 hours. There's DRS looked like he was going to the chair for his last meal with that. I mean, every day I never saw it. 3 seconds flat. 3 seconds flat. He didn't even let it marinate in his mouth. It was unbelievable. Never saw that. Guy's going to the chair, it looked like. Amazing.
Let's provide only a little context.
Only on Sports Grid. All right.
Only on Joe's Bistro Grid. Just so we know, by the way, Donnie fasts, so he does not eat at all times, and thus has one very large meal, and that's probably why he was scarfing things down. That's pretty good, though. I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty good. Are we going to have some sauce tomorrow together?
Yeah, we are. We're going to have a good time.
Oh. We'll have to recap for you. Lisi and myself planning on going to dinner tomorrow night in New York City. We got to kiss a couple of hands, shake a couple of babies, all that kind of stuff that will be necessary. Maybe we'll have a recap episode on Monday of our Saturday night dinner in Soho. Sounds like a plan, huh?
Yeah, it does. I'm sure we'll have a little video interlude at some point, a little montage from BSS.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that'd be
right?
Great.
Breaking down
it'll
Syracuse be... basketball. Who does Syracuse play on Saturday night?
What a great question. Let me go check who the Orange play on Football Full Circle to make sure. They're off this weekend, in fact. They're playing NC State next Wednesday. You know, that's kind of happening right now in college basketball, a couple of breaks in conference. It's why in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night we get Duke and Illinois. All right, back to football full circle, the football show here on FFC. Lisa, guys, some other news around the NFL for those interior O-linemen. Zach Martin retiring after 11 years. Another great interior O-lineman in Cam Jurgens, who guided the Eagles to a Super Bowl at the center spot, having to replace Jason Kelce, and did a great job at doing just that, having back surgery this offseason. Of course, he did not start in the NFC Championship game because of a back injury, came in the second half, and of course played very well in Super Bowl 59. Having back surgery, but by all indications and reports, Joe, Jurgens expected to be ready to go by the start of training camp.
Yeah, Cammy Cam, he's a main part of that offensive line. You mentioned it, Super Bowl champion. You want to have continuity, take care of any nicks or bumps and bruises in the offseason and just get ready for him late August as early September, as long as he's ready for week one. That's all that matters. So good job by the Eagles taking care of one of their mainstays. And at the end of the day, they're going to be there. Cam Jurgens is the main reason why.
Recruited at Nebraska as a tight end by Scott Frost. How about that? Now a center and a Super Bowl champion in the NFL. Just a little bit more to come here on Football Full Circle on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi, guys, some more news around the NFL. Elijah Molden, who played his first year in Los Angeles, traded for by the Chargers from Tennessee ahead of the Week 1 opener this year in L.A., signed a three-year, $18.75 million extension with the Chargers, now entering his fifth year in the National Football League. A third-round pick out of Washington back in 2021. Spent the first 3 years of his NFL career, Joe, with the Titans. Really, his first year with the Bolts in the secondary, became a full-time starter for the first time in his NFL career. Freed up Derwin James, who had an all-pro season in the new scheme by Jesse Minter. Elijah Molden was great for that Chargers secondary. He gets his extension. He gets his payday. All really good stuff. But Joe, outside of just the extension of Elijah Molden, it's also the little belief of what the Chargers are going to do year over year. Now year number two for Jim Harbaugh, a very successful first season, which is what Harbaugh does at every stop throughout his coaching career, collegiately, FBS, FCS, or in the NFL. He's a program builder and often immediately. Can the Chargers, Joe, see success in year number two under Harbaugh in LA?
Yeah, absolutely. Year two, we talk about new coaches, right? Big, especially in college. You know, the progression is biggest from year one to year two, because year one, you establish the foundation. You find the players that fit and don't fit the scheme. And then in year two, you have an offensive, defensive philosophy and hopefully draft well within that process to really get you over or even further than where you were in year number one. And this wasn't, it was a major rebuild, but the fact that they were able to make it to a playoff game, even though they lost to Houston, this is huge success for Jim Harbaugh. They're going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the New York Giants, you know, back when Dable was there, where they had major questions for their quarterback. They have their quarterback in Justin Herbert. Now, he has to win a playoff game, granted, but now you have that piece in place where you could build around. The defense at 1.2, Ben, was the number one scoring defense in all the NFL before they fell off a cliff at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. They were a great defense under Jesse Minter. They did exactly what Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman said they were going to do, establish the run. They traded all their wide receivers away. They focused on building the offensive line, which was very good. And now you got to hope they do the same thing in a 2025. Probably have to add some wide receiver help. Not sure Quentin Johnston's ever going to be the guy we saw at TCU. Ladd McConkey, sensational. Joe, I wouldn't say that Justin Herbert has questions in terms of his playoff success, But in the two playoff games he has had in his career, 2022, the drastic defeat when they blew a 27-zip lead against the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road in Duval, and they were a road favorite against the Texans this year, and Herbert threw more INTs four in that single playoff game against the Texans than he did throughout the entirety of the regular season, only three picks. It's a limited sample size, but you would think he will get the opportunity to change whatever narrative that is working under Jim Harbaugh. But again, you're going to need to build out the wide receiver core for him to fully capitalize on success in LA. A 28-1 price, Joe, on the Bolts to win Super Bowl 60, tied for the fifth best number around the AFC alongside the Houston Texans. What do you think that ceiling is for LA in 2025? Is it a playoff berth? Could they challenge the Chiefs in the division? Can they make a run to be a true conference contender within the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they don't have any major injuries, even though I'm not sold on Justin Herbert as being as good as, you know, some of the younger quarterbacks, especially like Joe Burrow, he could still win a playoff game. And with the rushing attack that they had at one particular time, especially with their identity in the early part of the season, they can win games. So if you wanted to take a lottery ticket with Jim Harbaugh in year two to be an AFC champion contender, I can't rule it out. It's not like they don't have the foundation. Do I believe that's going to happen? No, but I think they'll be there. I think a divisional run isn't out of the realm of possibility, meaning in the playoffs. They could get it to the second round.
And I will look forward to seeing what that division price is within the AFC West, a division the Chiefs have absolutely dominated. They have won the AFC West divisional crown for 9 consecutive years, and they have had the Chargers' number basically the entirety of the time that Herbert has been the starter. We'll see what 2025 has in store. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you for being with us here this week on Sports Grid Radio on FFC. Show returns Monday, noon Eastern time here on Sports Grid.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.